anniversary. This album's celebrating an anniversary.
An anniversary. Hey,
what's up? What's up?
What's up? What's up?
Yeah, today we're looking at Jimi Hendrix, well, the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Electric Ladyland from 1968. Turning 50 years old.
50 years old?
50 years old. Can you believe that? 1968, what a year for music. There's so many good albums that were released that year. Just crazy. So
What albums?
Well, we had the White Album, which we've done a couple of weeks ago, and anniversary albums. We had Beggar's Banquet by Rolling Stones. So many good albums.
50 years ago.
Yeah, crazy. So just a bit about this particular album. So obviously by this time, Jimi Hendrix and the Jimi Hendrix Experience, they'd released two very successful albums.
Mm-hmm.
And this was mid-1967 when they started to record this album. And they were pretty much one of the biggest bands of that whole psychedelic rock movement in the late 60s.
Yeah.
And Jimi himself was also considered by this stage pretty much a wizard of the guitar.
I mean, he looked like a wizard.
He looked like a wizard. I mean, and he just, obviously in 67, there was that famous incident at Monterey Pop Festival where he set fire to his guitar on stage. Everyone's seen that footage. And then, of course, he was doing things like playing the guitar with his teeth behind his back, doing all sorts of crazy stuff that pretty much nobody had done before. He was pretty
or done since, really.
Well,
people have tried, but not to quite the same.
Yeah, it doesn't really have the same effect as Jimi. When Jimi did it, it was like, oh.
Wizardly.
It was wizardly. It was godly kind of thing. He was also a bit of a perfectionist when it came to recording albums, and it was this perfectionism that drove him to make the decision to self-produce this record and really take the reins of the production, which led to quite a different stylistic direction on this particular record. He went down more of an experimental psychedelic route and tried lots of new things with the studio and studio techniques. So on here we have things like backmasking, use of echo effects, use of flanging, that kind of thing. He really took that kind of experimental guitar sound to the next level on this particular album.
Did he have any like experience before that with producing?
He kind of took part in the production process on the previous two records, but they did have like an actual producer in the studio, you know, taking the reins. But on this particular album, he pretty much took the full reins and was like, this is my project and you're not going to touch it.
But he had people doing sort of the grunt tasks.
He did, and
I was going to say, that'd be crazy.
I mean,
especially with like what was available at the time.
Exactly. And he kind of on this record they got rid of that psychedelic pop sound of their previous work, and in came more styles like funk and prog and that kind of thing. And these styles, of course, he'd also when the Experience split up, he went and formed the band of Gypsies and that kind of thing. And on those particular projects, he'd gotten more into the funk stuff. So this was kind of a precursor to that kind of thing. Also on this record, he brought in a lot of people to help him. And here, you know, he had people like Brian Jones from the Rolling Stones features on this record, Al Cooper, Steve Winwood. Lots of people on this project came in and like helped out, collaborated, despite Jimi overseeing the whole project. So it was a more collaborative affair than maybe the previous two Jimi Hendrix records were. So we're going to start with a track.
We are indeed.
Track number 3. And the second single, this is called Crosstown Traffic. And I guess this is more typical of the first Jimi Hendrix album. It's very strong, heavy blues rock sound on this record. And see what you think.
Traffic jam, straight up ahead. You're just like
Tune. We just had a very informative caller ring up.
We did.
With some very important information. Apparently, I had no idea that this was the case, but tomorrow is Jimi Hendrix's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jimmy. I had absolutely no idea, so that's quite appropriate. He'd be turning 76 if he was still around with us.
That is crazy.
Do you think he'd still be playing guitar and like?
Oh,
performing?
Man. If he was around, he'd be killing it.
Oh, he'd be up there.
Health, you know? Health. If the health went well.
I mean, if people like Buddy Guy can still play live, then Jimi Hendrix will be up there playing live. Surely.
Yeah.
Like these classic rock and blues players, they just never put the guitar down.
They don't. You just can't.
You can't, no.
I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
It's like an extra limb.
It is.
Pretty much. So that was Crosstown Traffic.
We've actually just got to go to a break.
Let's do that then.
We'll just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
We'll just have a great time.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.
No, not quite happy anniversary to that album quite yet. Oh, it was
too many happy anniversaries.
It was an empty spot block.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, what's going on? Okay. There you go.
Hello. Sorry. Yes, sorry. We just had a premature happy anniversary, but there's nothing wrong with that. The next track we're going to play is a track called... This is a bit of a deeper cut on the record. It's track number 14. It's called House Burning Down. And this one's a bit of a funky kind of psychedelic rock
so
track.
So we're moving forward in Jimmy's
repertoire.
We are.
We're moving forward from the bluesy rock to the more psychedelic rock here. And he also shows off a lot more studio trickery on this particular record. Just different ways of using the sound of the guitar and, something he was so, so good at. So let's have a look.
Then changed the subject and said, oh, well, I think it might snow some. So I left him sipping his tea, and I jumped in my chair and run off to see just why and who could it be this time. Sisters and brothers, daddy's mother standing around crying. When I reached the scene, the flames were making a ghostly whine. So I stood on my horse's back, and I screamed without a breath. I say, oh, baby, why did you burn your brother's house down? Disgusting, so we paint red with the sky. I say the truth is straight ahead, so don't burn yourself instead. Try to learn instead of burn. Hear what I say. So I finally rode away, but I'll never forget that day. Cause when I reached the valley, I looked way down across the way. A dying boat from space landed with eerie grace and came and taken all the dead away.
Hey!
Amazing.
Amazing.
Wonderful kind of techniques going on there.
You can tell it's sort of produced by a bit of a madman, but I love it.
Just amazing. Fading in, fading out, echo. Oh, a guitarist's dream, really.
Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting that he produces from that guitarist perspective more than anything.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of people produce from like the piano or just an acoustic guitar or something, but here he's taking like the electric guitar and the lead guitar right to the center of the production.
Yeah,
process. Quite cool. All right. So, how was this album received at the time, and what's its legacy been like? Well, it was a great success for him. It was actually his most commercially successful record, reached number one in the States and number six in the UK charts. It got mixed reviews from critics. Some say it lacked structure and was too dense, while others said it was mixed up and muddled, which is all probably true because it was a highly experimental work, but you get the impression critics wanted more of his psychedelic pop sound than this kind of out there experimental type stuff. There was also actually controversy around the album's cover, which was the original album cover was 19 Naked Women sitting in front of a black background.
Mm-hmm.
And this cover was actually banned by several record dealers. They deemed it to be pornographic. And these days, you actually, if you want to buy this album new, you won't actually get that cover. You would just get a picture of Jimmy on the front.
Yep.
But I'm sure you can find that cover somewhere in a secondhand record store, if you looked hard.
It's probably on the internet.
Probably worth a lot of money now, actually. In terms of its wider legacy, it's considered to be his best album by a lot of people and a 60s psychedelic rock classic. It's also considered one of the best guitar albums of all time and a highly influential album showing what could be done with the guitar, influencing many guitarists thereafter. And most critics agree that this album was the fullest realization of his far-reaching ambitions. Obviously, after this record, the Jimi Hendrix Experience split up, and Jimmy went on to do stuff with the Band of Gypsies and also as a solo artist before he sadly passed away in 1970. But I think this was like a taste of what he could have done musically through the 70s had he had the opportunity to do so.
If he stuck around, I think the world we would live in now, well, at least the musical world, would be a vastly different place.
It would just be incredible to see what he would have done in the 70s. I guess people like Parliament Funkadelic kind of did that kind of thing in the 70s, what Jimmy might have been able to do.
Yeah.
It would have been quite interesting to see what he would have done with sort of funk music and psychedelic music. It would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And
moving into sort of the renaissance of African-American music as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would have been pretty interesting if he went down the Afrobeat kind of world.
Mm.
We
can only speculate.
Yes, but we're going to finish with a classic track. It's his cover of the Bob Dylan song All Along the Watchtower. Such a great tune, one of the best songs of the 60s. On a rare occasion probably where the cover is probably better than the original song.
I mean, the song's been covered a billion times as well.
And this is probably the most famous cover of the song. And no disrespect to Uncle Bob, but I think this is probably slightly superior to his version.
Because it's been covered by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
It has been, of course, very much influenced by Jimi Hendrix, Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
Yep. And Neil Young covered it as well.
Yeah, another famous one.
So, yeah.
Let's hit it.
Song. Cool. That's it.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody. Hey. No reason to get excited.
What an absolute tune, Sam. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, pleasure. Pleasure.
nothing else to add. We're sitting here in awe of
giant,
a song.
Giant full stop on that one.
Song that's 50 years old. Would you look at that?
I know. I was just going to say also, just one last thing, that song's been featured in countless movies and video games about the Vietnam War.
Why? Is it just the era?
Battlefield Vietnam, anyone?
Is it just the era that was written in? That
probably. And it just kind of suits this image of like going through the jungle and firing at Viet Cong, or Viet Cong firing at US troops.
And then eventually losing and committing war atrocities. Exactly. Fantastic.
Anyway, enough of that.
Thanks very much, Sam.
Bye.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.